The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is NBA trade deadline day. It is the Suns trying to do something, anything that we look at and say, wow, that was really smart. It was really interesting. It is a day where tonight there's a couple of big, in my opinion, big college basketball games in our great state. And Bryce Harper, I think, is on my radar, too. And some other stuff. The letter of intent day was yesterday. Staff did great. Eric and Jordan absolutely killed it. We're out at a lot of different places. Jason Jewell, Devin Henry, the TV show. Everybody pitched in. I kind of hung out. Went to a recruiting awards dinner last night. Not awards. A recruiting announcement last night. It was at a local high school. And they had 10 kids up on the stage. One of the kids that was up on stage had already announced where he was going, or it was known back in December. But for some reason, this guy decided to not put up where it was that he was going to attend and had a hat dance and everything, even though he'd signed back in December. And I was just like, I know kids love attention. So I was a little disappointed in that. A lot disappointed, actually. It's just silly. You know, how did Arizona State and Arizona do? I had some alums. There was an event yesterday that ASU put on. You're going to be at this big event? No, I'm going to go to watch my son wrestle. Really? Yeah, it's letter of intent day. The story of the kids themselves is interesting, but let's be honest. If you go look year after year after year, the amount of hype, the amount of this is the greatest recruiting class in the history of mankind, to me, is just worn thin. Todd Graham took it to a level that I just found to be like, couldn't believe he was available, the best player, the best this, the best that, and all that. And that was Coach Graham selling. That's just who he was. And they're never going to say the kid had this going on behind the scenes, and we really didn't want him, but the first five guys in front of him, you know, we really needed to find a kid, but his GPA's got landmines all over it. And you poor alums and you poor fans that hear all the, you know, everything's great. And then, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 of the kids don't make it for various reasons. And then, I don't know, about 6 months in or a year in, you have people at respective universities that will tell you, yeah, well, this kid's got this going on, this kid's got that going on. We really didn't want him here anyways. It's the underbelly of recruiting. Jason and I have been kicking around the idea, Jason Jewell and I. And I'm actually going to pursue this. And there's things that I'll say on the show that I want to pursue, and then they just fall through the cracks, so I can't put them together. I want to pursue, I'm going to pursue an event, and we're going to sit on a couple of bar stools, Jason Jewell and I. Jason is the godfather of recruiting in this state. And we're going to get very real, like I do on this show. And I'm going to invite parents. Jason will invite parents. I'll speak for Jason on this because we both want to do it. I don't know about coaches. And it'll be parents of primarily 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age, right around there. And by the time they get to 17, if they haven't started the recruiting process yet, almost always, not always, but almost always, it's too late. And we're going to sit there on these bar stools at a restaurant, you know, maybe at a venue, depending on the size of it. Because I don't care if it's five parents. I just want to look at them and say, most of you are nuts. Most of you think that your kids are going to go to Stanford or they're going to go to, you know, Ohio State. And they have two left feet and they can't play dead. And their GPA is 2 point whatever. And they're all about themselves, and you're on social media ripping the coach, and you're saying my kid's not being used right, and just get very, very real. Because I think there's a space, not even a small space, I think there's a large space out there for that, rather than pay this company $2,000, and they're going to get your kid noticed, they're going to put your kid on some list, they're going to tell you to go make a video, and you're going to pay them $2,000 to go do all that. Eric, we should have done that with this when we first started, right? We should have just done the, hey, pay us $2,000 and we'll get your kid noticed at a Division III school like Wabash or something. I don't know. We should have done that right out of the gate, right?
Yeah, probably. But there were a lot of things we probably should have done right out of the gate that we didn't. But hey, we're still here.
What are you talking about?
Later.
What are you talking about?
Somehow, some way.
Is this a good idea? Could you see Jason and I doing this, or do you think we would turn off fans or parents because they just want to be told they're right?
I know
we wouldn't charge.
Well, you've already established the Sports 360 AZ brand.
Yeah,
which really isn't exactly what you would be pitching. It'd be more of like a specialty side
pitching deal.
Pitching.
You sound like we're trying to come up with some, you know.
Would you do it for free?
Yeah, heck yeah.
You would?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Do you have the time to do that?
What do you think?
No.
What are you talking about? I could miss a couple wrestling meets for Cole. I could. Look, it's an hour on a patio at a restaurant. From what I'm envisioning, I don't have to go connect the dots, or you know, if it's
you'd probably piss off a lot of parents, though.
I think so. I think it would be fun to watch them get up and walk out. Thank you for coming down. Most of you are crazy. Most of you think that just because you pay X, and you pay the personal trainer, and you pay the speed coach, and you pay the nutritionist, and you pay. And you pay and you pay, that it's going to get your kid a college scholarship. Versus, so my kid's really fast. He has good grades. He's smart. He's respectful. And he's got good size. I mean, if you can't check off those boxes, there's always exceptions.
I have a funny story about checking off boxes. If you have 1 minute,
sure.
Let me share it.
So this is a stream show. We can do whatever
it
we
is.
Want.
So this was probably, I don't know, last month, a couple months ago, and I was in one of a Phoenix head coach's office.
Well, you live at Pinnacle and Saguaro, so it's either one of those two.
We were.
Am I right?
No.
Okay.
I don't live there.
Pretty close.
I wouldn't say that. Oh, no. I did.
You drive by there.
Did a story in Glendale. I did a story on
Went to Tucson yesterday.
Went
day
to Tucson.
Yesterday.
Done the Casa Grande thing. Did a basketball story on a kid in the middle of nowhere.
Did you go to Safford? Did you do the kid on the kid
we
from Safford?
We went to Safford. Yeah, but anyway. So he was talking about a parent who was a handful because his son, who was a good high school player.
Right.
About 5'9"-ish.
Yeah.
Not particularly fast. Productive. Mm-hmm. A captain, and he was asking this head coach, why is my son not getting recruited like Jake Smith?
Oh, so you're at Notre Dame prep.
I was not, no, you're not, again, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Anyway, I'm going to cut this story short because clearly you have your own agenda. Anyway, the coach basically said, well, let's start with the fact that your son has a 2.4 GPA. That's the starting point, okay?
That's the end point, too.
And apparently the dad got really upset, but that's just the coach, like, just being level and straightforward, you know, that's step one. Get your grades in line. Step two, be an elite talent, not just a good high school player. And this guy did end up getting a couple very, very, very small school offers. But not everyone is going to be a Jake Smith or a Spencer Rattler or a Jack Miller or a Bijan Robinson.
But the parents believe that they are.
And which is completely miscast.
Yeah, I mean that's the what I'm talking about is the parents to look at it and say, okay, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. What you're saying is I think because you have 30 plus years of experience and you've covered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids that you probably have some truths behind your belief system. Yesterday morning, I went over to Castile High School. It's a high school right around the corner. And two boys signed their letters of intent. Both of them did not get offered until the last 10 days. And these parents were thrilled beyond belief. And the high school coach worked his tail off to get those kids those scholarships. And no, it wasn't to Stanford. And no, it wasn't to Texas. And no, it wasn't to Arizona State or Arizona. But it meant the world to these kids that a coach would fight for them. I always admired Sean Aguano at Chandler. It wasn't the 10 Division I kids that he would send out. It was the 17 to 20 kids that would get the D2, the D3, the stuff that didn't get headlines, and all those kids who he made a difference in. And we're so stinking caught up on the kid next door and what the kid next door is getting. And the family next door has this. And you don't even like the family next door. And they don't even like you. And you're all wound up that they got Notre Dame and they got this and they got that. And they got BYU, and you find out, well, it's actually BYU Hawaii. It's not really BYU, but the neighbor next door wants to impress you and say it's BYU. You know, so rather than compare yourself, anyways, you don't think this would sell, huh? You think people would walk out? When I say sell, you don't think people would want to. What's the benefit to Sports 360? I think it's us giving back to the community. I think doing some of that is the right thing to do. There aren't enough hours in the day for us to do it all the time. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that means with life insurance or annuities. This morning, I was sitting with someone from a nonprofit, and we were talking about plan gifting. Yeah, I think it's something that's very smart. I've talked to universities about it, that they know that when they have someone that is a donor and they decide that they want to buy life insurance, and part of that leads to when they do pass away, the university or the nonprofit finds themselves into some money that someone gave away. You may be sitting on a lot of dough or very little dough. Doesn't matter. But it's like, okay, when I go, I want this person or this group to have a little something from me. You can plan it out. It's one of many, many, many different products at Sagicor that makes a lot of sense. And that's sense with an S and a C. It's at Sagicor Now. Use Sagicor. Log on to Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. It is NBA trade deadline day. We're going to get into that on the other side. Goody at the movies as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, today is the trade deadline for your Phoenix Suns. And they lost again last night. Not only did they lose, they just got destroyed. They got crushed. They turned the ball over 22 times. They were 3 of 17 from three-point country. Yeah, I know Devin Booker didn't play. It seems like Devin Booker plays about once every fourth or fifth game. Devin Booker is just now starting to realize that players have control and players have power. At least that's what he says publicly in the last week. I'm of total the opinion that within the next year, if this nonsense continues, that Devin Booker will be the latest to say, I don't want to be here in Phoenix. The Suns yesterday made a trade. They made a trade for a guy making $19.2 million named Tyler Johnson. You don't know Tyler Johnson. If you do know Tyler Johnson, it means you really, 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 really pay close attention to the NBA. And it's like the biggest thing going in your world considering the Suns aren't good. What does this mean? Well, it means that they supposedly have a point guard. It means that I'm going to hear on the Suns pregame show, although I'll give Tom and Tom credit. I think Tom Chambers and Tom Leander probably have one of the toughest jobs in sports in Phoenix. They have to make things look and sound really good before and after the Suns play a game. And fortunately, both of those guys, and I think Eddie Johnson should be thrown in this as well. I watched DJ last night after they got drilled again. And they're not sugarcoating. They're not trying to give the nonsense that this team is so close. They're not trying to sell the company line. It's not like they're sitting in a marketing meeting saying you have to be more positive. I'm not hearing any of that. Thank God. I mean, the game broadcasts, volume's down on that because I know where that's going. I'll turn Al up and I like to hear what Al has to say. And it's very real. So Tyler Johnson comes in. They also pick up a guy named Wayne Ellington. Wayne Ellington's not even going to make it to Phoenix. If he makes it to Phoenix, he's going to sit in a locker. He's going to have his name on a placard for a night. And then his agent has already said the team is going to release him. Once again, we are nothing more than a stopover. That is all Phoenix is. And anybody who tries to paint it differently, that they're this close, you are on the team payroll or you just simply are a fan that will not see the light of day. You've dug this hole. This is your hole. You continue to dig it deeper. Has Josh Jackson played better as of late? Yes, he has. I was listening to Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast. Eric, you're not a podcast guy, but if you knew that Woj had a podcast every week that went very deep, would you listen to it occasionally? Or just
probably
never
not.
Happened.
All no, right. Probably not.
So I'm listening.
I have Twitter, so that's pretty much how I get all my Woj information.
And Woj,
when the Woj bomb hits, I'm on it.
There's nobody better than Woj.
No.
Right?
And even other people in the media know there's nobody better than Woj.
So I'm listening to his podcast, And I'm listening to it with Bobby Marks. And Bobby's an NBA insider with ESPN.
Yep.
I'm listening to it on Monday. And I'm not a radio consumer. I'm either on my phone, ask Eric this. I'm either on my phone talking to him. I'm being creative on shows, or I'm listening to podcasts, or I'm on Sirius. I'll listen to Howard Stern for a bit and just decompress. I'll listen to 80s on 8 and just live back in the day. They're talking about the Porzingis deal, and Wojnarowski goes right down the path of, you realize that the Phoenix Suns, all they had to do was to get Kristaps Porzingis back in 2017 was trade the rights to Josh Jackson, the fourth overall pick. That's all they had to do, and they would have had Porzingis. It was a done deal. Now, the Suns would probably deny that and say that's not true, and I'm going to believe Adrian Wojnarowski all day over the Suns. That's just how it is. So let's go back through this, shall we? When Ryan McDonough was still the general manager of the Phoenix Suns last summer, I don't have any notes in front of me here, guys. I don't have a teleprompter. This is how it is. Last summer, we're going to get Trevor Ariza, and we're going to get Ryan Anderson, and we're going to build around veterans. They're going to be good guys for our players. They're going to be good role players, and they're going to be just fine. And then Ryan gets blown out in early October, and then they trade Trevor Ariza away to Washington. They thought they were going to trade him to Memphis through Washington. It didn't work out, but nonetheless, they trade Trevor Ariza away. Never mind that the Lakers want to get Trevor Ariza. Never mind that Trevor Ariza probably could have brought them a bigger haul than Kelly Oubre, who's a nice player. But it seems to me, as we're sitting here the day of the trade deadline, that Trevor Ariza's name is all over the place, and he wants to stay now in Washington because he believes they have a chance to win. So Ryan McDonough's plan of bringing in Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson has led to what? Ryan Anderson got blown out yesterday. Trevor Ariza got blown out back in December. Ryan McDonough got blown out in October.
And don't forget about Tyson Chandler. That experience came to an end, and now he's with the Lakers.
Okay, so you're right, but I'm only going off of whatever Robert's plan was last summer. And I've already said on this show, straight into the camera, they tried to hire Steve Nash to be the general manager last summer. Again, they'll deny it. Steve will deny it. I'm not going to deny it. Not calling them liars, just the business of basketball. So last summer, they have the number one overall pick. And they decide, you know, on top of the number one overall pick, let's go the direction of Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson. So once again, Robert's plan goes boo, 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 boo. And what did Houston do yesterday? They said, hey, Marquese Chris, you're gone. They traded him. So the guys were in the Houston deal for Trevor Ariza. They get blown out. Brandon Knight, blown out yesterday. He got traded. It's this endless cycle. And rather than just say Robert's a bad owner, because everybody's saying that, yesterday, sit down and relax on this one. Yesterday, Forbes valuations came out again, another year. And guess what? The Phoenix Suns valuation went up again. In fact, every team went up 13% in value in the last year. Every team on average. 13%. So let me ask you guys something. This is very, very straightforward. When you put down your hard-earned money to go watch a product, and you know that the owner's average, on average, his team went up 13%, and they have 11 wins again. They have Golden State tomorrow night. I'd say that's another loss. They play at Sacramento and the Clippers. They're already at 12 straight losses in a row. So here today on this trade deadline, when I see and hear that Tyler Johnson, yeah, they're going to put him at guard. He's sneaky. He's this. He's that. It's just another guy. And we're this much closer to being in another space where they should just continue to lose every game, tankapalooza, we're back at it. Devin is eventually going to, as I'm sitting here in February of 2019, Devin Booker will eventually pull everybody around. It'll be after a tough loss. He'll have already calculated this out with his circle, and he'll say, I don't want to be here anymore. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. How can you change that? I don't know, James Jones is trying to correct Ryan McDonough's mistakes. James Jones so far has brought in Tyler Johnson. He's brought in Kelly Oubre, Tyson Chandler, Eric, to your point, that deal. Do the Suns have a shot at all this summer in the biggest name free agents? And it's going to be a very good free agent class. Is Kawhi Leonard going to consider taking his talents to Phoenix, Arizona? And the answer is likely no, or hell no. Kevin Durant went off on media last night. It depends on who you believe on all that stuff. But Kevin Durant, do you think Kevin Durant is going to consider Phoenix for a nanosecond? No. The breaking news in the last 48 hours is, and we never heard Lonzo Ball, we just heard his dad say, I want my kid to go play for the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix would be the best fit for him. He actually is right on that front, in my humble opinion. Those of you that watch this show through the years know that I was on the Lonzo Ball train. When his dad got very involved and the Suns stayed away from him, it became a train wreck. If the Suns had traded the number 4 overall pick for Kristaps Porzingis, would Josh Jackson be tearing it up in New York with the Knicks? Potentially. But would the Suns be in better space having Porzingis, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker? Or would Porzingis had prevented them going into this DeAndre Ayton mode last year where they had the number 1 overall pick? Would he have gotten them to be an 8th seed? Is he that talented a player? We'll never know. But I trust Adrian Wojnarowski a hell of a lot more than people here in Phoenix. So when he says that all the Suns had to do, it was done. It was finished. Porzingis, Josh Jackson. It's just another one of those when people do the deep dive, write the 2,000 words on the 10-year abyss of the Phoenix Suns, or the way that it's going, it's going to be 12, 15 years. They could have done this. They could have done that. They put the banner of LaMarcus Aldridge on the side of a building and it didn't happen. It's one misstep after the next. So short of tearing this whole thing down today, they're preaching patience with all these young players, which is fine. The Lakers haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, by the way, just so we're clear on this. It's not just the Suns, but it's the team right here in our own backyard. For the Lakers to not make the postseason in 5 straight years with all the resources of Los Angeles, and now they have LeBron James, that's actually a bigger crime than what's going on here in Phoenix right now. But I'm still pissed off about what's happening here. U of A is in more trouble. There's some big college basketball games tonight. That is next, then Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. This week, so we'll get into that with Bill, probably a little bit of the State of the Union the other night with Trump, and much more because Bill is very well-rounded. And I mean that in terms of what he covers. So he doesn't take it personal. Tonight is a big night for college basketball in our state. U of A is playing Washington tonight in Tucson. And there's a term that has been attached from Dave Hickey, the athletic director at the U of A, about a culture of compliance. Culture of compliance. So if you've not heard in the last 12 hours, U of A's assistant coach, Mark Phelps, has been placed on leave. He's done for violation of academic transcripts. This was not related to Book Richardson. This was related to Shaq's son when U of A was working to get Shaq's son in. And this assistant coach violated academic transcripts around Shaq's son. So he's gone now. This is the second coach on Sean Miller's staff that has been blown out, Book Richardson being the first. The culture of compliance, there's a belief that Sean Miller is going to have to be, he's going to be subpoenaed to testify on all this. So U of A is trying to stay alive and trying to stay afloat. And these poor U of A basketball fans, or poor U of A fans, and you know who you are, that just sit there and say, there's never anything wrong. Nothing is ever wrong with our team. It's just the bad media. It's just them. Okay? Book Richardson, yeah, it's bad media. Mark Phelps, violation of academic transcripts, blown out. Yeah, it's just us. It's our fault. It's always our fault. This is a big game for them tonight. And you wonder, because Brandon Williams is not going to play, just how much can this team handle in the face of adversity? A year ago, it was about this time a year ago, actually, is when the team was up in Oregon and all the stuff broke around payment of players and the Book Richardson thing. And they were up in Oregon and Sean had to go into his bunker and so on and so forth. And they get blown out in the tournament, and they're out early. We're back at it again with U of A. We're back in that space. And so tonight, against the best team arguably in the Pac-12, how will U of A perform tonight against Washington? That game is in Tucson, and that game will be at 7 o'clock tonight. Tonight is also Arizona State at home against Washington State. Washington State is not good. ASU has been a team that, in my humble opinion, has ebbed and flowed too much for my liking this season. Teams that ebb and flow usually over the course of the long haul don't make it when it comes to March Madness. You would like to see a level of consistency around them. It's a space where I think if you can get some consistency out of your backcourt against Washington State and then set up a monster game on Saturday night on ESPN with Washington at ASU in Tempe with Dave Pasch and Bill Walton calling the game. They're 3-1 with Walton games, by the way, for those of you, if it matters or not. It's a big game tonight. And so I look at both teams on the college basketball front and then GCU. Dan Marley's trying to get this team together and get them righted up. You're 4 weeks away from the WAC tournament in Las Vegas. And they play Rio Grande tonight. So it's three games, really, when you look around our great state tonight, that they've got to get it figured out and get it taken care of. On the baseball side of things, so Bryce Harper met with the Giants on Tuesday. Harper and Manny Machado are asking for too much money. That's just the bottom line right now as we sit here and talk. And do I think the Diamondbacks should have checked in on both of them? I have to believe they at least checked in. Checking in means, where are you guys at? What is it you want? We're not bidders. We still need to be sellers. We haven't turned it around. San Diego's now checked in on Bryce Harper. The Giants have checked in on Bryce Harper. The Dodgers have checked in on Bryce Harper. Do you see where I'm going here? If Bryce Harper ends up staying within the National League West, it's not going to be good. It's going to be tough enough seeing A.J. Pollock in a Dodger uniform when he's healthy, when he's able to be out on the field, he's not hurt. But they've already overpaid for A.J. Pollock. And if they go get Bryce Harper, that's not going to be comfortable. It just isn't. So one other story in this break before we take the break. And that is, this one is just emerging this morning. The general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs has said to his star quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, to stop playing basketball. Patrick Mahomes, last week, there was a viral video of, actually earlier this week, a video of Patrick Mahomes going out and playing basketball and just killing it, performing very, very well. And the question is, how far do you go as a general manager of a team with your star player without upsetting your star player? We know the agent for Patrick Mahomes, Lee Steinberg, very well. In fact, I may see Lee this weekend out in Southern California. That's a story that you're going to hear much more about the general manager. It's funny because Kurt Warner plays basketball all the time. And I wonder what Kurt Warner would think about this. We'll try and find Kurt. Up next, Goody at the Movies. We'll talk with Bill Goody Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. That is next. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and Donald Trump had a State of the Union and Bill saw Cold Pursuit. I mean, we could do 10, 15, 20 minutes with Bill today, I think. Here is Goody at the Movies and other stuff. Bill Goody Koontz, AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. How are you?
I'm good. I think it's important, though, if you want to keep your audience at all, to note that, well, maybe we could, we won't.
We could, but we won't.
You know what else I did? I went to the Phoenix Open for the first time in years.
You know, I saw your work there.
I went to write about Johnny Miller.
Yeah, I saw your stuff with Johnny Miller. I actually retweeted it and liked it because it's good stuff. And And he cried on the air. They got him to cry, which was great. Did you get him? Did you get him to cry?
No, but he was kind of. You could tell if you pushed it, you could do that. because he was, I mean, and it is, he's been doing it for, you know, honestly, when you think about it, I just thought, oh, he's been doing it for a while, but it hasn't been that long. And it's like, well, yeah, it has.
Yeah.
I think that stuff is hard to step away from, but I just, while it was fun to go back to the Phoenix Open, certainly it's more fun with the press pass because you don't have to pay to get in and you get to park fairly close. Man, that place is just too crowded. I'm not like agoraphobic or anything like that, but I just feel like, I got to get out of here.
Did you walk around and follow any golfers, or did you just get in, get Johnny, and get out?
I walked around. I didn't really follow anybody in particular. I just went to a couple of the holes that were nearby.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because I went to on Friday, so it wasn't like the hideous crowds of like Saturday. And it was still crowded. But the next day, and it was sunny. It was beautiful. And the next day, I went to Heber, Arizona for my kids' wrestling tournament. And it was snowing and icy and stuff, so that was kind of a cool, you know, Arizona thing. And then on Sunday before the Super Bowl, I switched over to watch the end of the Phoenix Open. It looked like they were playing in Seattle or something.
No, it was cold.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cool.
What weight is your son wrestling at? Do you know?
195.
So you and I have this in common. This is good to know. And Bill and I, we never talk about. I mean, Eric may say he wants to talk about this movie or that movie. We don't know. I didn't know that you were doing the wrestling thing. So I'm in the wrestling space. So basically, as a dad of a wrestler, you have to Clorox bleach the kid when they get home. Otherwise, there's this thing called ringworm.
And yes, or you'll get ringworm.
Yeah, and so are you in that same space, like, get away from me, you grimy kid. I don't even want to touch you. Just please go to the bathroom as soon as you get home. Are you in that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, go hose yourself off.
Yeah.
I like it. I like you, although certainly not at your level. I played basketball in high school, but they always had wrestling practice after basketball in our gym, or sometimes there'd be a wrestling meet or match, I guess, and I'd do anything not to do homework, so I'd stick around and watch it. And it always looked like it's a really cool sport.
Yeah.
And partly because it's just that thing. I mean, you talk about, like, just you against the world. I mean, it's about as primal as you can get. And I always thought that their workouts were – I mean, I just admired them. They're so, you know, they're so tough, and they, you know, but –
Yeah, but they stink.
It's kind of weird to see your kid out there getting, like, you know, getting banged around.
Your kid stinks. He smells. I mean, my son yesterday, Cole's a super heavy. So he's out. He's the one that wrestles last. For those of you not in the wrestling space, if your kid wrestles last, it's a long time. It's not like something like your son's like right in about the middle, right? Right about the middle of the match.
No, they're towards the end. But it's not as bad as a swim meet where it's over and, you know, like... 30 seconds.
Hours.
But it's okay. Wrestling's a little more fun, I think, because watching those really low weight classes go, man, that's fun. They're like little water bugs out there, and they're just going at it.
We're doing a piece on girls high school wrestling, because it used to be that girls wrestled boys until last year, and this is the first year now that the AIA has it where girls are wrestling, and I've found a couple of 90-pounder that go out, and I've been told by coaches that they're bad. You don't want to mess with them. And it's just brought a different component to it. All right, let's get over the movies then. Cold Pursuit, is this the typical Liam movie? Typical stuff.
It is and it isn't. I mean, it is him being a guy who has to get vengeance on, you know, a family tragedy and that sort of thing. So in that regard, it is. But it's also funny. And he's in it. Obviously, he's the star, but he's not in it all the time. They, you know, you kind of get to know the bad guys, and the bad guys are really smarmy and kind of creepy, and they're funny. I was watching one of the all-time great movies that came on the other night, and I watched part of it, Midnight Run, with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin.
Sure.
And they've got to get they're bounty hunters who have to get, you know, he has to get Charles Grodin to L.A. at a certain amount of time. This is not nearly as good as that, and I don't mean to imply that, but it's got some of that, like some of the bad guys are kind of funny. And, you know, in a kind of a really brutal and violent way. But I mean, this thing, you know, it's getting really good reviews. I'm not the only person who likes it. But now it's taking on this whole new different life with these you know, this thing with Liam Neeson doing this interview that was so bizarre,
mm-hmm.
where he talked about, you know, wanting to kill, get in a fight with and kill any black guy he could find because a black man had raped a friend of his or something. And it's just, it's like, whoa, this, I was happy when it was just about a movie. You know?
Do you think this will do well because of that?
I don't know. I mean, it could go either way. It may not do well at all because of that. I think that his stuff tends to do well. If they didn't, they wouldn't keep making basically the same movie again and again and again. I mean, as I say, at least this one has some humor in it.
His kid gets kidnapped. They're really bad guys. They do evil things to her. They kill some people along the way. He shows up. They blow up cars. They shoot at each other with really cool weapons. And in the end, he crushes their skulls with a vise and a walnut chopper, and he takes the kid. They hug, they kiss, and the credits roll. Done, right?
Well, pretty much. In this case, one of the more unique weapons is a snowplow. He's a snowplow driver in a really snowy part of Colorado, and that plays into it a little bit. But man, I love the snow, so it was fun to see all the snowy stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's it basically, and it's something. Before his career is kind of in reverse. I mean, you know, most of these guys, they'll be action stars when they're young and all that, and then they'll sort of transition into, oh, I want to be a serious actor and all that stuff. He started out as a serious actor. I mean, he was doing, you know, really sort of brainy stuff, and then he somehow became, you know, once he hit, you know, 55 or 60, he became this action hero. It's bizarre, but he's good at it. I've talked to him before, and certainly didn't have an interview like he had with this other person, but he's funnier than you'd think. I mean, he's sort of lighthearted. He's not the serious guy that he is in these movies.
Except what he says, racist stuff that's not acceptable in this day and age.
Yeah, that was not so lighthearted there. I think in his head he was trying to work it out and say, I made a mistake. And, you know, this is what vengeance really gets you and how angry it makes you. Clearly, he did a horrible job of it. And also clearly, I mean, that there's no, you know, that once it happens now, it's around the world in a second. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's, everybody knows. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him from here.
Are you going to watch SNL this Saturday night? Because Nancy Pelosi did a few things during Trump's speech that were just funny to me. And I have a feeling that if it's not a rerun, and you may know, is it a rerun or not, but they just got to tear that thing apart. Like the monologue's got to be, I don't know, the opening sketch, I should say, has got to be more than a few minutes this week.
I'm sure that's what they'll do. No, it's not. I mean, it's February sweeps. No, there's no way it's a repeat. But I'm sure they will, and I hope they do, kind of. But what I also hope is that they don't just mimic it. That's what they've sort of fallen back on that. It's just kind of the news of the day and of the world is so bizarre that it's almost hard to parody. So they've sort of limped by too often, I think, on just kind of, you know, recreating, you know, reenacting with a couple jokes thrown in what went on. And occasionally they do something that went outside that, like when they had Melissa McCarthy doing Sean Spicer. And they put her, you know, going through New York on the little podium and trying to get, you know, trying not to get fired and all that stuff. I hope they do something like that. I hope they don't just, as you say, recreate some of the weird facial expressions or that sort of clap scene around the world, right in his face. I think there have been a lot of ways to describe it, but clap back is pretty good, I think.
All right, so the DM I sent you the other day about getting together for coffee, I'm serious about it. So at some point, I'll get serious and send you a date. I send Bill a note. Want to grab coffee? Sure. So I'll figure it out on my end, and I will get it to you. You get it to your people.
I'll do that.
All right.
Yeah, because otherwise it's like, you know. I'll tell you this. One quick story. George Meyer was a writer for The Simpsons, and he a genius, brilliant guy. Everybody loved him. They always thought he made some of the best episodes. He's from Tucson. I met him at the TV tour when I was doing TV once, and we talked, and he was a great guy, and he said, hey, you should come to the set of The Simpsons. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I love that show.
Yeah.
And And he said, well, then come to the set. And I was like, wow, this is kind of like when a girl gives you her, you know, says you should call me sometimes, but never gives you the number. but in his defense, he said, here's my home number, here's my cell phone, and here's my work number.
I get it.
So that worked out.
I get it. I get it. See you later.
All right.
There's Good Eat the Movies and much other stuff. That is the show. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen is always senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. Have yourself a great Thursday.